So, hey everybody, welcome to KPFK, Voices from the Front Lines, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and streaming live on the web, kpfk.org. The show, every Tuesday at 4, is called Voices from the Front Lines, and I'm your host, Eric Mann. Today, we're going to have an interesting show. The show is going to involve talking to you about the voting rights referendum for Trayvon Martin that was initiated last Friday morning in South Central Los Angeles. It's been pretty exciting. I'll tell you more about that and an amazing article by Robin D.G. Kelly called Justice for Trayvon and the Fight for Democracy, the New Freedom Vote, which is in both Counterpunch, very exciting, and also Huffington Post. And after that, we're going to go on the phone lines and get your response to Robin's article. Please talk about Trayvon Martin, but actually relate to the article that you were read, you know, sort of like a reading comprehension thing. That'd be great. So, from Trayvon Martin to racism, you'll be on with your opinions. We're going to start with Justice for Trayvon and the Fight for Democracy, the New Freedom Vote by Robin D.G. Kelly. One thing I want you to be thinking about right now as I read this is judge your anger level at the moment that you heard that Trayvon was killed from 1 to 10. Judge your anger level when you found out that George Zimmerman was not going to be indicted. Then judge your anger level at when he was indicted 45 days later. Judge your anger level when you found out that he was acquitted of all charges, and judge your anger level today. For me, I think my anger level, whatever anger means, has diminished, but my strategy and tactics level has never been higher. I'm so angry at the society that I run on rage quite a bit. I mean, there's so many people already. There's been so many more black kids shot even since Zimmerman decision. But the Trayvon Martin case is something that we have to sustain because there's an actual demand we want of the President of the United States, which is to indict the Sanford, Florida Police Department for the violation of Trayvon Martin's civil rights. That's what we're going to talk about, 818-985-5735, but also my excitement at participating in a campaign that, yeah, I helped initiate, but now I'm participating in, called the Voting Rights Referendum for Trayvon Martin, in which we're calling on the Justice Department to both indict George Zimmerman and indict the Sanford, Florida Police Department, both on civil rights charges. Now, for the last 5 days, we've been out in South L.A. Teams of us, we've gotten so far 1,500 votes of real people, not just people coming and checking a box, but coming and having a conversation and voting to ask the President of the United States to do these two things. And secondly, I'm happy to say that while maybe 1,350 of the people were black, 150 of the people were Latino and signed their ballot in Spanish. So in terms of black-Latino unity, it's pretty cool. Now, I'm going to read you Robin's opening, which is in Counterpunch. It's a long article. Just a minute. Robin D.G. Kelly is a pretty amazing person. I mean, he's really, in my opinion, the movement's historian. We need more, and I'm not saying he's the only one. We had Howard Zinn, but I think Robin is a movement historian and one of the best. He understands social movements. He's part of social movements. He doesn't write from outside. He writes from inside, but he brings the outside. He brings that long historical view that especially a lot of young people don't have today. So I'm going to tell you about what we're doing in South LA today, but when I helped to initiate this campaign, I immediately was thinking about the freedom vote in 1964 in Mississippi, because that's when I got involved in the civil rights movement. But Robin has taken it way further, so I'm going to begin to read the beginning of Robin's historical frame. Exactly 50 years ago, civil rights activists in Mississippi launched one of the most significant acts of direct democracy in the U.S. history. After two bloody, grueling years of trying to register black voters in the face of massive retaliatory violence, Bob Moses and Allard Lowenstein of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, along with leaders of the Council of Federated Organizations, COFO, decided to create their own ballots and polling stations so that the disenfranchised could participate in statewide elections, dubbed the Freedom Vote. The seeds were planted on August 6th when the movement mobilized some 27,000 unregistered black voters to show up at the polls for the gubernatorial primary with ballots in hand. The votes were not just symbolic. There was a legal precedent dating back to Reconstruction when the state passed a law allowing ex-Confederates, of course the white people, to cast provisional ballots on the basis that they had been unlawfully disenfranchised. The men who had lost the vote for waging war on the federal government in a doomed effort to protect slavery had now turned to the federal courts for the restoration of their voting rights. Fortunately for them, they never saw jail time for their crimes. A century later, black Mississippians had cast their own provisional ballots as they sought federal intervention to restore their voting rights. Predictably, the white supremacists manning the polls were not having it. Black voters met violence, and their ballots were dismissed, if not destroyed. But 27,000 ballots exceeded all expectations and laid the groundwork for the statewide freedom vote in November. Rather than deal with the official polling stations, Bob Moses proposed creating a parallel apparatus where people could safely cast their ballots, presumably free of violence and intimidation. The Freedom Vote was intended to dramatize the exclusion of African Americans from the political process and to challenge claims made by Mississippi senators in the press that low black turnout was simply due to apathy, not repression. But Moses also understood the campaign as a challenge to the legitimacy of a democracy based on white supremacy. The Freedom Vote was nothing short of revolutionary. They ran veteran activist and COFO president Aaron Henry for governor. Check this out. Medgar Evers, the likely candidate, had been assassinated a few months earlier, and a young white chaplain of Tougaloo College named Ed King for lieutenant governor. COFO also put up 14 candidates for local office in LaFleur County, including Cleveland Jordan for sheriff and SNCC staff member Willie Peacock for district attorney. Besides the slate's interracial makeup, the candidates ran on a fairly radical platform that included the right of labor to organize and engage in collective bargaining, $1.25 minimum wage, support for farm cooperatives in place of sharecropping and dispossession, the provision of low-interest loans for small farmers, a progressive land tax on tracts of land over 500 acres, and tax exemption for those with plots smaller than 500 acres. So, that's Robin beginning the conversation of that history. Now, skipping ahead, 50 years later, the Labor Community Strategy Center and its allied organizations, notably the Bus Riders Union and Community Rights Union, have united under the banner Fight for the Soul of the Cities and launched their own version of the Freedom Vote, known as the Voting Rights Referendum for Trayvon Martin. Activists are asking the predominantly black and brown residents of South LA to vote on two demands. Listen to this. First, that the Justice Department under President Obama immediately investigate and indict George Zimmerman for violating the civil rights of Trayvon Martin under the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2009. Two, that the Justice Department investigate and indict the Sanford Police Department for violating Martin's civil rights under the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act of 1994. Neither of these initiatives require congressional approval, and the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and subsequent legislation give the President and the Justice Department the authority to act. The referendum began on August 2nd, and it will close on August 30th. And I want your opinion on, one, do you think we should have a freedom vote in South LA demanding that the president indict George Zimmerman, demanding that the president indict the Sanford, Florida Police Department? And two, are you going to participate in that vote? Because opinions without doing anything don't really do very much for me. Why vote? Why a referendum? Why not go the path of most organizations, issue the demands and protest? But like Mississippi's freedom vote, the voting rights referendum for Trayvon Martin is not a mock election intended simply to pressure the federal government to act. It's also an indictment on the widening disenfranchisement of black and brown, mostly working class people, and a struggle to restore and expand democracy, not just in South Los Angeles, but across the nation. We are pundits across the ideological spectrum, warning of democracy's current crisis, though for people of color, it's always been in crisis. The foundation principles of any democracy, a free, equal, universal adult suffrage based on a secret ballot, civil freedoms of speech, conscious assembly, association, and the press, and freedom from arrest and assassination without trial are being violated every day. Okay, so now if you were out, I'm going to go to the phones. Several questions. Do you remember the freedom vote in 1964 or any other historical precedent for this? Two, do you understand the freedom vote taking place at this moment in South Central Los Angeles? 3, do you think we should be bringing charges against George Zimmerman and the Sanford Police Department, which the president and the attorney general have the right to do? And 4, what are you going to do about it? Okay, on line one. Carlos, nice to have you.
I'm calling from Los Angeles, California, and I'd basically like to let everyone know that my opinion might be just the opposite of a lot of your callers. I basically have firsthand lived in the Crenshaw area and have lived and been raised side by side with, you know, African Americans. I myself am a Latino, and basically I have witnessed and been part of the terrorizing things that they do to us minorities growing up. For example, jacking, gangbanging. And we basically have been taught by our parents, hey, you know what, just let it go, you know, be the better person. So now I look at the situation, and recently, basically walked into McDonald's in the Crenshaw area, you know, being an adult, a 30-year-old adult, got banged by an African-American individual. I say to myself, there's two sides of the coin. A, you kill this at the root, which is what happened, or B, you allow it to continue. There's no clean cut. I'm not saying everyone is that way, but when you have lived next to them and see what they are capable of doing, you basically are able to see where other people can take the initiative to do what this man did.
Okay, thank you, Carlos. Carlos, listen, I really did let you both speak and lay your point out. Before I get to the next listener, please understand you kept talking about them as them. I mean, are they people? Did you say...
They are people just
the people like just us, but let's... I'm speaking now, okay? First thing is, you didn't say that you've had some experiences with specific black people. You've now said they do this and they do that. And the second thing I thought you said is cut it off at the root. Now, I don't know, you're really proposing, what are you saying? Kill black children? I mean, if you have a bad experience, look, we understand there's crime in low-income communities. We understand that. I mean, there's despair, there's poverty, there's no place for young black people to act out that's legal. And yeah, bad things happen. Some black people do some bad things to some Latino people. Some Latino people do some bad things to black people because all the white people have gotten out, right? There's no white people in South LA. But here's the question. Even if you have these prejudices, which you clearly do, if you see a man shoot a young black person, if you see a man trail after him in his car, come out with a neighborhood watch, have a gun, continue to stalk this man, he knows he's being stalked, and kill him, what in the world does that have to do with your experience, except that you are prejudiced in the sense that you prejudged a story that in your heart of hearts you know isn't right, but because of your prejudice, you see a different way. But thanks a lot. I mean, that's why the show is here. I gave you a chance to make your opinion. And Edward from La Quinta, what do you have to say? And then Jane, and then Gigi. How are you, Edward?
First of all, you got to know something. I'm a white guy, and yet I wept when I learned about Trayvon Martin's passing. And I really feel like I can align myself with the many losses of things that occur among the black community, because in my family I have a lot of black people. In part, that might be the reason, and another part is simply because, you know, there's just a lot of violence in the world and there's a lot of injustice.
Edward, can I ask you a question? What do you want President Obama to do?
Well, I want a continuing investigation to find out, you know, what really occurred. You know, I didn't watch every detail of the courts being recorded and seeing whether or not, I do not know who attacked who first. I mean, Zimmerman apparently asked a question.
What do you want President Obama to investigate? Right now, do you want him to investigate and indict Zimmerman? Do you want him to investigate and indict Sanford Police, or you still feel like you're not sure what you want?
Well, the investigation would end up in finding out whether or not an indictment would be worthwhile.
Correct. Absolutely right.
So I certainly want this to come forth. I want the freedom vote to come forth.
Well, that's great. Okay. Well, they're both wonderful. Now, do you ever get down to South L.A.? Because we're always at Crenshaw and King. This Thursday at 10 o'clock, the freedom vote, the voting rights referendum for Trayvon Martin, is going to have a press conference right at the corner of Crenshaw and King. You'll see us all out there calling on the president to do this, and we really would like you to join us. Jane from Ventura County. Hi, Jane. How are you?
Hi, Eric. You know, you're saying everything that I believe in. I often ask myself the question, when did Trayvon have his opportunity to stand his ground? I don't think it takes a genius to see what happened, that he was stalked by George Zimmerman. I want the president, I want Eric Holder to do to treat this as a hate crime. It was a hate crime based on race. And my heart breaks for his parents. But more than that, we have to bring light to what is happening. I know that Trayvon, everyone has wrapped their hearts around Trayvon, but all the young black men and Latino men who get killed in L.A., Orange County, how many a month? It has to change. And I'll do what I can. I will do what I can to make the change.
Well, let me suggest, Jane, that was really great. Let me say this. Think about it. You can go to the corner of Crenshaw and King Thursday at 10 and cast your vote. You can cast your vote by being part of a press conference. Imagine if we had 100 people there and we need you to come. That's one way of saying you're upset. The second thing is you could actually cast your freedom vote in that referendum. We'll have ballot boxes there. They'll be there almost all day on Friday and Saturday, but we need people to come to this press conference, which would really mean a lot. So think about that. And if not, go up on www.fightforthesoulofthecities.com, and there'll be a lot of other ways you can get involved. But thanks a lot, because the main issue is you want to do something. Gigi from Pasadena.
Eric, I'm a first-time caller. Very, very impressed with your show.
Thanks.
I heard something today, and if people cannot join you, which I'm a grandma, I cannot do that. I'm not able to do that. But
right.
You know what I heard in the previous show, because yours is the only station I listen to, KPFJ, for real news, was that on the 28th of August, they're going to have that whole boycott. You know, I think that everybody can do that. Everybody that is so horrified at what happened, and yes, frightened and, heartbroken.
Right.
All of us can, everybody can not shop on the 28th of August. And I think simultaneously, because what I like about your show is you know, we can identify the problems. I'm 65 years old, 65 and a half. We've been identifying, and, you know, this just sounds, just, it's a loop. And it just goes on and on and on. But you know what? When they boycotted the buses and it hit, you know, this capitalistic country in their pockets, we got results. And that is something that everybody can do. So maybe, hopefully, I'm going to pray that 100 and more make it out there. But everybody cannot shop on the 28th of August in memory of Trayvon. Everybody can do that.
Well, I think that's wonderful, and let me say this, that the Strategy Center is saying that the particular tactic we're choosing is to put the heat on President Obama and to go on the Fight for the Soul of the Cities. The NAACP is also calling for charges to be brought, in particular on George Zimmerman. Other people in Florida, the Dream Defenders, are talking about rolling back the Stand Your Ground laws. Other people are talking about having a boycott of Florida. Other people are talking about doing cultural expressions. We're not here to tell you the best thing to do. We're telling you this is the thing we're doing. But your point was right. This show is always about doing something. And if you're going to do something, we'll never tell you. Hold on, if you could, on the voice there. We'll never tell you that's the wrong thing to do. Join something, join somebody, do something. And as you said, if we all don't shop on August 28th, if that call is going out, I won't shop either. So there's more than one thing to do. Thank you so much for calling. And you're right. This show is not about criticism, the endless loop of sadness. It's always about voices from the front lines. You know, you leave this show feeling a little optimistic because there's always somebody trying to do something good. Gordana from San Pedro, happy to have you.
Yes, hi, how you doing?
Good.
I was the one that forever kept saying the same thing. I'm beginning to hate myself. Until we abolish the racism, until we put all the things in proper order, we got to get rid of the Supreme Court. You got to get rid of Senate. You got to get rid of Congress. Maybe you'll have a chance to have a world that will be in peace. That's all I got to say. Thank you very much. You're doing a wonderful work. Let's step up further.
Well, I think that's very great. I think even if we got rid of the Congress, you have to remember we'd still have capitalism. We'd still have imperialism, which is the root of this problem. I mean, where did this racism come from? You know, it comes from an economic system to start with. But right in the beginning of it, it's not like it was first economic and then it got racist. It was a racist economic system that began in Europe, that began with a horrible view of other societies that came to the Americas and began from the minute they met the first indigenous people, wiped them out, set up death camps. Obviously, the story of Trayvon is rooted deeply in slavery. It's rooted deeply in Jim Crow, and it's now rooted in the new Jim Crow, what we call the racist re-enslavement complex. This system will not stop. And in particular, the relationship right now, just for a minute, I'm very concerned about the fact that black people who were used, of course, first as slaves and then low-wage labor, are now being seen as disposable labor, labor that's not wanted, pushed out of the janitorial work, pushed out of the universities, 4% at UCLA, unbelievable, pushed out of domestic work, pushed out of the steel industry, pushed out of the auto industry, 50% unemployment among black men. What in the world are they supposed to do? They hang around on the street. Where else do they go? They drink out of a bottle, and that's a crime. They literally trespass, and that's a crime. They jaywalk, and that's a crime. They mouth off to a policeman, and that's a crime. They're in prison as fast as we can, as fast as the system can get them in terms of mass incarceration. So the freedom vote that we're trying to do, the voting rights referendum, and I just want to take a minute of that, is an effort in some ways to fight back at capitalism, not just about what's happening to Trayvon Martin, because bear me out for a minute. One part of it is that our organization is always trying to keep our eye on the prize, which we mean right now is President Obama. President Obama was the first black president elected. I worked very hard, not that he needed my help, but our family was super enthusiastic about him in the first time, too much of my whatever. And the second time I was not super enthusiastic, but still wanted him to win against Romney. But now the question is, will the black and Latino and progressive community ask this president to take action on Trayvon Martin and go beyond George Zimmerman to indicting a police department? So that's our focus, you know, and that is part of trying to build a movement against capitalism, because as Robin Kelly said, I want to see if I can, oh, this is, his punchline is really good. I'm back to the article from Robin Kelly. As with the first historic freedom vote, the voting rights referendum for Trayvon Martin, talking about the work we're doing in South LA, proves once again that the nation's most important architects of modern democracy are often those who enjoyed partial rights of citizenship or are not citizens at all. We must not forget that democracy, or what W.E.B. Du Bois called abolition democracy, was our gift to the United States. By our, I mean the descendants of slaves, working people, women, immigrants, the homeless and destitute, the imprisoned. What is happening in South LA ought to be replicated throughout the country. This is what democracy looks like, and its restoration and regeneration cannot wait on the courts, which is what you said, or the federal government to act. We can have a dialogue on race until we're blue in the face, but if we want to eliminate racism and build a robust democracy, rooted in the principles of what those SNCC activists in Mississippi described as the beloved community, the fight for the soul of the cities offers a powerful model for movement building. If you agree, don't just retweet, get involved. The People's Referendum is a powerful tool. Just ask Chileans. Email at barbara@thestrategycenter.org. Check out facebook.com/fightforthesoulofthecities. Twitter @FightSoulCities using hashtags #PeopleVoteForTrayvon. Are you going to do any of those things, folks? So you can go email Barbara at the Strategy Center. For that sister who said she couldn't come to Crenshaw and King, check out facebook.com on Fight for the Soul of the Cities. If you use Twitter, Fight Soul Cities, and use the hashtags #PeoplesVote4Trayvon. So thanks, Bill from Santa Monica. Bill, I hope it's okay. I want to focus on what you want to do. Listen to every listener now. If it's okay for the next 3 or 4 listeners, we may disagree on what to do, but that's the only conversation I want to have, is what are we going to do to make the system pay for what was done to Trayvon Martin? Bill, what do you think we should do?
I think that what you're doing is that you're speaking out of two sides of your mouth. right now. First of all, you admit that racism is embedded in American capitalism, and at the same time, you're telling people to pressure the Democrats. You're telling people to bolster the authority of the overseer of the whole plantation, that is the Obama and his justice system. So it can't be both ways. Either you're going to overthrow capitalism or you're going to try and pressure it into being, into having more authority. And I think what you're doing, in fact, at one point you're admitting that American capitalism is deeply racist and that and there's structural problems, and at the other side you're saying we have more legislation that kind of reins it in. What we really need is not to pressure the Democrats. What we really need is to build a revolutionary workers' party, and I think you know that.
Well, let me respond to that. I think that's a very clear alternative maybe to what I'm saying, but maybe not. I think we need to form some kind of a revolutionary workers movement. I'm not sure we need a party. I think we may need a variety of different social revolutionary movements that are in some kind of federation. But I certainly think we need a revolution against imperialism. But here's the question. Every revolution that I know is built on actual struggles against the system. I know of no revolution that sat on the outside and kept saying revolution, revolution, and the people said, we want to go on strike. They say, go on strike? Hell no, I'm for a revolution. And they sat it out. And the people say, hey, we're marching to get the police to stop beating up this woman. Stop beating up this woman. That's a reform. I'm not going to get involved with that. Well, no, I think revolutions are built by being part of the struggle of the people. We're not trying to legitimize President Obama. We're trying to force him to do something which Trayvon Martin family wants. They want Zimmerman brought up on charges. We want the Sanford Police Department to be brought up on charges. Why has no one ever mentioned Sanford Police? Because a lot of the people in the civil rights establishment want to focus just on George Zimmerman, so that, because we think from what we're listening to Eric Holder, that he is moving towards perhaps indicting Zimmerman. But if he indicted the whole Sanford Police Department, the Democrats might lose Florida, which they'd be worried about. So that's a harder thing. The movement has to be more conscious. It has to have clear targets. And I agree with, let me take the party you agree. We, if we want to build a revolutionary movement against racist capitalism, there has to be piece by piece that we want to fight for. If you isolate yourself from the struggles of people who come to you and say, I want to struggle. I want to struggle. I want to do this. And you say, no, 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 that's not enough. Not enough. You're not fighting for revolution. The revolution will die. So I appreciate your criticism. I'm not speaking out of two sides of my mouth. I'm speaking out of my mouth. Victor Ferventura wrote, does one need to be a U.S. citizen for your freedom vote? Absolutely not. Just the opposite. And let me take a minute. Thank you so much, Victor. I'm sorry I didn't get that message. The freedom vote, the voting rights referendum for Trayvon Martin, is another effort to expose the United States government for its absolute suppression of people's vote. If you are a prisoner, you can vote. Really, you can send us a letter and we will count your vote. If you're an ex-prisoner, you can vote. Somebody came up to me on Crenshaw and King and said, very quietly, I'm on probation. Can I vote? Yes. Another kid came up, I'm 13. Can I vote? Can you read the thing? If not, I'll read it to you. Another person, so yes, you can vote. Another person said, I'm sorry, I'm blind. I said, I'll read the ballot to you. And after the ballot, you tell me how you want to mark it, and I'll mark it according to your wishes. And he voted. 10 undocumented people who only spoke Spanish voted in this election. So the answer is every human being who wants to cast a vote on behalf of Trayvon Martin can come into the voting rights referendum. No one is going to be denied because of any status. That's part of the revolutionary work that we're doing. Part is to put demands on the system, but the other side is to expand the concept of vote, that my vote counts. So thank you very much, Victor Ferventura, for asking that question.